Greetings. Welcome to St. Dominic's Weekly. This is Father Michael. On our podcast today, Father Isaiah and I delve into the life of St. Matthias, perhaps the bonus apostle, that is, the one who took the place of Judas after Judas absented himself from the close association of his 11 other brothers. And in some ways, it's a fantastic reflection for this Easter season. We're still in the 50 days of Easter, and it's during this time, precisely in anticipation of the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost, that Matthias is originally called to be an apostle of Christ, to be one of the successors of Christ, to be a bishop, as we would call him today. And so we investigate how it is that the Spirit moves in and through our life. And just to mention, here at the parish, we're giving our Called and Gifted workshop this coming weekend. So the 17th and 18th, Friday evening at 7 o'clock, and then all day from 9 to 5 on Saturday in our parish hall, to investigate for yourself and open yourself up to this workshop, which helps to articulate and to name for yourself those gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are unique and powerful in your life. We often ask, is God working in my life? Is the Holy Spirit active? This is a way that we can name that in a very precise way, according to those gifts the Spirit gives, those charisms, and then to think more broadly, how might we put them to use? How is God calling us to use our gifts? And in the case of St. Matthias, he was called in a very particular way, not by Christ directly, but by the other apostles elected to that position. And it's a reminder to us that God doesn't necessarily call us directly from on high, but he uses our other relationships. He uses events in our lives. He speaks to us in a multiplicity of varied ways. And if we're open to hearing the call of the Lord and discerning those gifts and graces he has given us, that's when the resurrected Christ comes alive in our own lives. So I hope today's show is encouraging and enlightening, whether you're on the go or taking it slow. Many, many blessings as you enjoy today's show.
Greetings and welcome to St. Dominic's Weekly. Father Isaiah here. Father Michael over there.
Christ is risen.
Truly, he is risen.
Oh, you were waiting for that.
I was. I was thinking about today's topic, and you know, I'm kind of mixed about today's topic.
You're mixed?
Well, because we're talking about Apostle Come Lately over here.
Apostle Come Lately. I like that. St. Matthias. So in this Easter season, there are a number of apostles that are celebrating. You got St. Philip and St. James,
yeah.
And this Tuesday, St. Matthias, all mm-hmm. apostles, and grouped in the larger Easter season to fall. Of course, Easter itself falls in different times of the year, but to fall somewhere proximate to the Ascension and Pentecost itself,
right.
and Matthias is there. So what's your mixed feelings about
well, I mean,
Matthias?
Of course, in the Acts of the Apostles, mm-hmm. right? We don't even know about that Matthias even exists until clearly after the ascension of the Lord and around that time. And it just makes sense that originally Matthias's feast day was in August, so around the time of the ascension. But it is admittedly more of a joke, the very fact that we don't know who this guy is until he shows up in the middle of Acts, you know?
Yeah, no. So. In some ways, that's a little bit – it's interesting because you have at the Last Supper, as of course you celebrate the Passion mm-hmm. of our Lord, the moment at which Judas,
right.
in a sense, literally walks out. Jesus
yeah.
says, "What you must do, do quickly."
Mm-hmm. When
it was night. It was night. And you have Christ prophesy that, you know, someone will betray him. And, of course,
right.
everyone looks around and says,
Is it I?
Are you talking to me? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know? And
I didn't get that memo.
And then Jesus says, you know, the person I dip, you know, the morsel in the dip and give it to. And so Jesus takes it, and even there, it seems like the apostles are a little bit clueless about what's going on.
Right. Yeah.
More Mark, so maybe he's going out to like purchase food for
yeah.
you know the next
or
day,
give food to the poor,
Yeah, you know, they're not quite sure what he's
yeah,
up to.
Clueless.
So they're a little clueless, but certainly after his betrayal, no one's in doubt that he betrays, and tradition has it through the Scripture that he takes his life. And Christ says about Judas those words that you know are pretty. Pretty harsh. Some of the most words of most grievous. Better that he was not been born.
Exactly.
So that's a difficult thing to say.
Right.
The question I always have is, does that mean he's not in heaven definitively?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. How do you interpret that passage? Mm-hmm. I said that's a difficult passage. There are groups that will say just definitively in hell, and you have Dante placing him in the pit of hell.
Right.
But is there still hope for everyone, including Jesus, Judas? I mean, so I don't. Yeah. But when Jesus says better that he was not been born,
that's hard to get over.
Yeah, it's hard to see how you can interpret that in any other way that because even if he did betray, if he was in heaven, then it was better that he was been born.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what's the only reason why someone would be better not to have existed?
Right, right. So I mean, there is a logic there saying that even he will be redeemed. And I know that there is a tradition of even on the last day, Jesus will be at the gate just waiting for Judas to come to receive the heavenly reward, right?
Yeah. So, there are certain, can we hope that all will be saved? First of all, it's beyond our pay grade in some sense, because it's up to the Lord. It's not to us to judge, but certainly it's hard to know how Christ would be not saying something definitive about Judas in that way. But we're not talking about Judas today. We're talking about his successor.
His replacement, successor, however you want to put it. So,
Once again, it's the Easter season. I think I've teased you enough about not having the proper response during this season that you were right on it.
Christ is risen? Who?
Truly
really?
Is risen.
Really? Is that today?
Exactly. So all the way, it's funny, I did it the other day. I had that greeting with one of the parishioners, and they said, oh, we're still saying that, are we? even as it's coming to an end. Yeah, sometimes there's the dog days of Lent, where it's after 35 days of celebration, you're like, okay, I love the celebration, but it's starting to when's ordinary timing? When do we get back to the usual routine? No, so there's lots of it. In fact, Father Finbar Hayes tells a wonderful story of how when he came to investigate the order, kind of look at it before he entered, he arrived right after Easter. So with all the alleluias and the feasting and the celebration and the music, and he was just totally captivated by it. And he said, we didn't realize is he had come right in the midst of celebration season and didn't realize that they had, there was a little bit of a relaxation on the penances, but he found out soon enough, he said, that he had come in the height of Easter season. So it's like when you visit a house, it's like you're going house hunting and you visit a property or in a place where, in Pacific, it'd be up on Daly City. If you visit a house at a certain time of year, it can be beautiful, beautiful thing. Well, 75% of the year, that's in like a big fog embankment.
Yeah.
Like visiting a house. So that was the Easter experience. But today, St. Matthias. And I think what's interesting about Matthias is not perhaps all the things that we kind of don't know, because the scripture, as you say, doesn't speak about him.
Yeah.
But there's this definitive link that Matthias gives us to the totality of what the church is.
Right. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
He tells us about the church because, first of all, just in terms of numerology, the number 12 is very important, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So from the very beginning, there's the sons of Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob, the 12 sons of Israel, Jacob and Israel.
Israel, exactly.
Also known as Israel. And then, of course, the reconstitution of the new Israel with the calling of the apostles, right? So it's Jesus refounding the nation, as it were.
That's right. So you've got, Jacob's got 12 sons. Each one of them becomes a tribe, which constitutes the whole of Israel.
Right.
And then you have Jesus kind of establishing the new Israel, choosing 12 apostles who will then become those successors to
the pillars
of the church that Jesus builds upon. So when one Judas falls away from that, I mean, in terms of the actual manpower, it's not like, if one's like, okay, if we could do it with 12, we could probably do it with 11, but it was important. This is not Jesus. And here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
Jesus is not the one who says, oh, by the way, get a 12th guy.
Right, right.
Read in the Acts of the Apostles how after Jesus ascends, they get together and say, we need 12 because this is what Christ had given to us. Like he had called 12.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we don't, and there's a spiritual insight that sin never conquers God's providence.
Right.
Right. It can right. delay it, or it can in a sense, it can be kind of a new plan, but ultimately evil doesn't win out. Right.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. the fact that Judas didn't respond ultimately or persevere in that call and despaired yeah. isn't going to thwart God's plan to build right. the church, so mm-hmm. to speak. His failure is not definitive.
Right.
And so they say, we're going to choose a 12th. And that's important yeah. because they understand that the coming of the Spirit, they're not quite sure what that means, but
right.
they were told to go back to Jerusalem
yeah.
and wait for the coming of the Spirit. And they do that then by adding one to the number. And it's interesting. It's
right.
not someone who Jesus personally calls,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. And it's not
yeah.
someone who Jesus gives the idea to call. In other words,
right.
Jesus doesn't directly both either call Matthias, and he doesn't directly tell the apostles to call Matthias.
Yeah.
He leaves it up to them
yeah, yeah,
to make that call.
Yeah.
In other words, it's Jesus acting through his
yeah.
church, right?
Yeah, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This is before I just find it really interesting that the Matthias was chosen literally by the roll of the dice.
Oh yeah, so this is the whole other thing. This is the,
yeah.
that's the how. So
yeah.
yeah, I was still back on the well, why, you know, kind of why they chose them, but the
yeah.
how is all
yeah.
is always interesting too.
Yeah.
So they say just the fact that they're inspired to call someone else, and then there's a way in which they approach how do we go about mm-hmm. doing that? How do we find a
yeah.
replacement? And so they set parameters that are very interesting, and they even though Acts is written. By St.
Yeah.
Luke,
mm-hmm.
it's a continuation of that Lucan kind of theme of the continuation of Christ's work in and through his church.
Right.
There's a way in which you have even themes of John here, because you have the apostles noting that in order for someone to carry on the work of the apostle, they had to have direct eyewitness
right.
experience of Christ, even though
yeah.
Christ didn't call them in the same way he called the other apostles. It had to be someone who was there from the beginning, and they defined the beginning as the baptism.
The baptism. Yeah.
yeah so yeah. someone who was a follower of Christ in that moment that the Spirit
mm-hmm.
kind of overshadowed
yeah.
Christ, with John the Baptist baptizing
right.
him, and then the voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son, right?
Right, exactly.
So someone who had to be, someone who had to see that,
mm-hmm.
and there was, of course, literally hundreds to choose from, right?
Yeah.
And disciples of Christ,
yeah.
but then someone who was also
at the resurrection
present
yeah.
mm-hmm. at one of the moments when Jesus appeared
right.
in his resurrected form
right.
in his resurrection. So
yeah, a shorthand way of saying that he was a person that was there for the entire earthly ministry of the Lord.
That's right,
right?
And
yeah.
he was an eyewitness.
Yeah.
He had mm. seen with his own
yeah.
eyes. He
yeah.
had
heard
lived,
his
heard
yeah
his,
heard his the Beatitudes from his own ears and all that such. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, okay, and then that whittles down all the potential disciples. Pretty well
yeah.
down to two.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So there were only two others who kind of made that criteria,
mm-hmm.
and then they thought, well, okay, what other kind of spiritual kind of thing can we do? And they
right.
and it turns out that they kind of had exhausted all of the you might call kind of eyewitness
mm-hmm.
criteria that one might have. So they said, we really don't know what to do. It really is a flip of the coin here. So.
Yeah.
That's basically what they did.
Yeah,
they cast lots, which is rolling, which is a kind of form of rolling dice,
yeah.
playing Yahtzee.
Basically, yeah. Divine Yahtzee.
Divine
yeah,
so. Yahtzee. Although, yeah, no, it's reminiscent.
Do you think Mary kind of blew on the dice or something?
I don't know. I don't know who's the. I'm laughing because there's St. Matthias is, this goes to Catholic, the way we as Catholics have different patronage. He is
right.
the patron saint of games of chance. So if there's a sporting,
yeah,
kind of a sporting event in games of chance, he's your guy. He's your guy.
Sense, yeah.
He's your guy. But Matthias wins the dice roll. I don't know if they did two out of three or how they
yeah.
did it, what the exact mechanism, but they cast
yeah.
lots, and the lot fell with Matthias and
yeah.
not with Joseph, and
yeah.
so, and not Joseph, the father of Jesus, who had passed away
yeah.
many years before,
Joseph
but
Barsabbas, yeah.
exactly Joseph
yeah,
Barsabbas,
so.
who himself had been met that criteria, but
right.
was
yeah.
kind of you feel for him because he doesn't really come back in the scriptures
Yeah, I mean, himself. Once, maybe twice, yeah. About like in the letters and all that such. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting if you actually look at that passage closely. It's like, technically speaking, you know more about Barsabbas than you do Matthias, but Matthias kind of wins out because he's the one that's part of the 12. You know, and then,
yeah. You if you're thinking about based on kind of proximity of the apostles, there's hints that Joseph is actually kind of closer to the community,
right? Yeah.
But Matthias is the one who carries the day, that's almost as if. There's this theme, of course, in the scripture of the eldest or the firstborn being the natural mm-hmm. heir to things,
right.
But that in God's providence, he chooses the one who's the unlikely one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Everyone from, you know, you've got the Cain and Abel story yeah. down to, you know, you've got Jacob and Esau. We mentioned Jacob yeah. earlier. Esau is the firstborn, or David yeah. and his elder brothers. He's, yeah. he's the least.
And this is very Lucan, right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm thinking too of the Visitation where it's the elder Elizabeth and the young Mary. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. the elder Elizabeth bowing down, right? So it's just scripturally consistent, at least in the Lucan way of looking at things.
That's right. He raises up the lowly, right? He God calls the one that no one expects to show his power,
yeah.
so that no one makes the mistake that it's the own person's natural gifts and talents yeah. which are at work. It's God working through them, no matter what their natural mm-hmm. talents or
yeah.
or graces. And that's a good point. So Matthias chosen. And once again, when the Holy Spirit comes, then he's part of that group then
right.
that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to then to go and to preach. And when it comes to, once again, we don't see a lot about him in the scriptures, but there's mm-hmm. different traditions. And right. what are some of those traditions? What are some of those places that he was traditionally thought to have gone to?
A little bit of everywhere, really.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When it comes to this kind of thing, too, he could have been to all these places because, you know, certainly they travel far and wide. But
exactly.
But what would give me one place that he went?
Well, he made a side trip to Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
I'm kidding. To the country of the nation of Georgia, not
Georgia,
the state.
Not Georgia.
Not Sweet Georgia Browns, but rather the nation of Georgia.
Modern day Georgia,
okay. The region of Colchis, right?
Okay.
According to, he was also in various parts of the Roman Empire. And yeah, there's even kind of inconsistency of whether or not he actually was martyred or not. You know, so
oh, really?
That's
okay.
just interesting. So
yeah, I think most have, all for John, that they have a martyrdom tradition.
Right, yeah.
In terms of him, he was there's a extant Egyptian text
mm-hmm.
of the Acts of Andrew and Matthias, not written in the time of the Bible, written
yeah.
later, but using yeah. the apostle's name. The ancient writers had a different idea of plagiarism. Today, if I wrote a book and claimed it was written by, you know, Bishop Barron or something, Bishop Barron would be like, no, I didn't write that,
so,
right?
Yeah.
But if you, in ancient times,
yeah.
you would write it in order to get any credibility. You'd have to pick someone who,
right.
I mean, it would be just par for the course to
right.
to pick someone. And that wouldn't be thought of as being somehow underhanded or
no.
plagiaristic. It would be like, this is giving weight
yeah.
to what I'm writing. It's in the spirit
in the
of this
honor
person.
Or spirit
exactly.
of
exactly.
said author. Yeah.
So that's when everyone says, oh, this is, you know, these different gospels that are heretical. Well, it's not as if those people wrote them. It was people trying to write and use their name as a kind of to be credible in
right.
a way.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, so there's the different acts. And, yeah. and it says he travels to the barbarians and to the meat eaters of the
yeah.
interior of Ethiopia.
We're not necessarily talking about people that like chicken and pork a lot, but rather people that are actually cannibals, right?
Oh yeah,
so
cannibals,
flesh,
yeah.
like human man meat, I guess you can say.
Yeah, no,
when I
read that for the first time, I thought barbarians and meat eaters, I thought they just liked a good steak. They appreciated
yeah, exactly,
filet
yeah.
or something. But
yeah, exactly.
The
might as well come over to our house for Easter, you know.
Exactly.
Or something, yeah?
Meat fest, exactly. No, but meat eaters in the sense that it is meant is actually cannibals, and
right.
so and then so he was martyred there. One tradition has it, and then also some say he was stoned in Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
itself
yeah.
in that holy city.
Yeah, and then Hippolytus, and this is what I was thinking about earlier. But Hippolytus mm-hmm. of Rome said that Matthias just simply died of old age in Jerusalem. So,
okay.
So it's just interesting that the end of his life is kind of varied, but more than likely, with the exception of John, the apostles were martyred. They gave their life for the sake of the name.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, Matthias is, well, more than simply I ask my goat. My goat. He's my go-to for praying for sports teams. If I have
games
a certain
games
of chance, he's my go-to for that. If I'm interested in having the local teams, you know, do well. As the Warriors make,
I think go deeper.
As
they
go
deeper,
playoffs, I think Matthias gets a little candle, but but you do have the sense that this is the continuation of the church, and here's
right.
really, I think, one of for me the lasting legacies of Matthias is he shows the conjunction of the spiritual aspect of the church with the historical aspect of
right.
the church.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the
yeah.
church is not simply a spiritual group.
Right.
It's a real historical calling
right.
that Christ gives. And it's not just Christ directly, but Christ calls 12. And when one
yeah.
is lost, so to speak,
yeah.
well, there's that spiritual insight that no one is ever lost
mm-hmm.
when empowered by Christ. And so Christ
right.
gives the power that he has to his disciples. As he says, you will do the works that I do, John.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the one that always gets me, and even greater things
right,
than
right.
these.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
if we take that seriously, it means that Christ has given to his church every power that he has,
mm-hmm.
and even greater.
Right.
What
mm-hmm.
could be greater, right?
Yeah.
But it's a kind of living existence. So,
exactly.
So just as Christ called 12,
mm-hmm.
even
yeah.
if one drops away, the church herself has that power
yeah.
to continue to call,
yeah, reconstitute itself
exactly
to
call
mm-hmm.
to call others, and so there are ideas that perhaps other faiths might have that once Christ kind of left, he left, and
yeah.
the church itself could founder. You know, so you have like
right.
Church of Latter-day Saints that says there's
right.
this great apostasy, a great falling away of Christ at some point. Well,
yeah.
that just in a theological way. Can't happen
yeah,
because
right.
of Pentecost and the historical
yeah.
connection of who Christ is, the church will never, the gates of
yeah.
hell will never prevail against
yeah.
it. To have a great apostasy just isn't
yeah.
theologically possible.
Yeah.
Now, certainly that doesn't mean the church can't lose her way, be in always in need of reform, ever
yeah.
needing of reforming, as that phrase, ever reforming, ever needing to be reformed,
right.
St.
Mm-hmm.
Augustine says. So certainly, because we're human and we're not perfect,
right.
there's that human dimension of the church. But insofar as the blessing, the sacramental life, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the church can never be lost. And this
yeah.
is that historical sign, the Acts of the Apostles. And that's why I love the Acts, because it shows
right.
how
mm-hmm.
everything that the apostles do mirrors what Christ did in Luke. So everything
yeah.
that was done in the Gospel of Luke is then
right.
correlatively, in a sense,
right. exactly.
manifested by his followers, and they don't need Christ, or Christ sets up a system where they don't need him to literally tell them everything
yeah.
directly. He
yeah.
leaves to send the Spirit, and now the Spirit's working through the church.
Right.
And
exactly.
Matthias is that first sign of the empowerment of the apostles to be sent to
yeah.
preach the word. Because if you think about it, if God's goal was to send his son so that he would personally, in his incarnated form, or even as a resurrected form,
mm-hmm.
would be kind of the, if you will, the point person to
yeah.
to directly preach. Well, 3 years is not enough time, and the whole, you know, I mean, that's not
a
great plan,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But if the plan is something different, that is to establish a church,
mm-hmm.
a living manifestation of his power, and empower that with his same Spirit,
right.
well, that's what we have today. And Matthias
exactly.
is that sign of that. So the empowerment of the church, and for us.
Yeah, exactly.
To know
yeah.
that same Spirit that fell upon the apostles, that same, if you will, kind of providential roll of the dice, or the casting
yeah, exactly.
of lots that Matthias experienced in life, that the Lord, in a sense, in his providence, calls us,
yeah.
right?
Just the same.
in terms of being gifted and talented. And in fact, this is why we have every year our Called and Gifted workshop,
exactly, yeah.
which is this coming Friday. If you
mm-hmm.
haven't signed up, there's still a chance to sign up. And frankly, even if you just want to come by, it starts Friday evening, I believe.
Friday evening.
I mean,
yeah.
it goes on Saturday. So it's a way in which you can discern those gifts.
Yeah.
that God has given each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is, now what do I do with those gifts?
Right,
and so,
exactly.
And are you involved in the Call the Gifted this year? Or
I'll be teaching it over
oh, yes, that's
a
right.
Little
you're a little east of here.
Yeah.
That's right. You're headed on
yeah.
on your trip to your annual trip to Asia.
Yeah.
So yeah,
mm-hmm.
so we've got a great team teaching myself.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
Michael Smith and others. So
yeah.
So if you haven't yet, if you happen to hear this podcast this week, this Friday, the 17th of May, is our called and gifted. And like Matthias, exactly. We're all called to live the Spirit of Christ in a very particular way towards the building up of his church.
Right. So again, we pray to St. Matthias this week. So if you want to support the podcast, just share us on, subscribe to us on iTunes or Podcatcher or whatever program or app that you like. If you want to support us, leave a comment, share us, all those great things. And of course, you want to email us, contact us on the podcast. Our email is podcast@stdominics.org.
Christ is risen.
Truly, he is risen.
Oh, you're on it. You're always on it. May all that we do this week truly in this Easter season radiate to the joy of the gospel here in the heart of the city. Amen.
Amen.